Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our consideration this morning is recorded in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. We read verses 15 through 17. I'll be reading from the NIV. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?' But you have made it a den of robbers." This is the word of the Lord. And now, Lord, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed, as you probably noticed from your service folder, I am a seminary student, and I'm what you call a second career seminary student, because you see, God has allowed me to complete a military career before embarking on studying for the pastoral ministry. And in my 22 years of active duty in the Air Force, I was privileged to travel numerous times, and in fact, I virtually traveled around the world three times to such places as Germany, Great Britain, Italy, going the other way, Korea, Japan. Let me describe for you the routine of some of those trips on a commercial airlines. First of all, after traveling for 7 to 10 hours in an airplane, you kind of stumble off, you're dog-tired. You're joining the masses into the baggage claim area where you're fighting over your bags. And then you join the long lines going through customs. And finally, after all of that, you're ready to go out, find your ground transportation to go to whatever your final destination is. Well, before we left the terminal, there was one stop that military travelers always had to make. And that was at the money exchange. Contrary to popular belief, credit cards are not accepted everywhere. And so we would convert our U.S. dollars into whatever currency of the foreign country that we were visiting. And that was to be used for paying for meals or for paying for lodging, cab fares, and the like. And of course, when we converted our money at that money exchange, there was a price associated with that. And that's how the money exchange made their money, their profit. But it was a very necessary service for us. Well, in our text, we see that there was a very necessary service provided by the money changers of Jesus' day. There were many travelers who were flocking into Jerusalem for the Passover observance, and they were converting their currency into shekels for the paying of the temple tax and also for the purchase of sacrificial animals. And yet we see in our text that Jesus overturned the tables of these money changers and the seats of the ones selling the doves for sacrifice. Not only that, he drove out all of those who were buying and selling there. What was the problem that caused Jesus such anger? Well, Jesus answered that question through his teaching to those in the temple court. What was wrong was not only was all this commerce occurring in God's house, but it was occurring for the wrong motive. If the exchanging of money and the buying and selling of animals had been outside of the temple courts, if that had been done for the worship of God, that would have been fine. But you see, the intent of the chief priests and the teachers of the law was different. There was much money to be made and to line their pockets with that money. The practice of the pilgrims would have been fine if it had been to worship God rather than to gain his favor through the paying of that temple tax and the purchase of the sacrificial animals. Both groups stole the worship of God in the temple, as Jesus quoted Jeremiah, "You have made it a den of robbers. Do you and I have the right intent when we go in the house of God for worship? Do we sacrifice our time to Him with the intent to gain His favor? Look at me, God, I'm here worshiping you again. Are you paying attention? Well, if so, that's works righteousness, my friends. No, we come here to give thanks and praise to God because Jesus gave up His body and His precious blood to redeem us from sin, death, and the devil. We come to worship God who has created faith in us through His holy word so that we might have eternal life in heaven, so that we might live in the mansions of heaven and dine at the tables of the heavenly feast. Now we also see from our text that Jesus would not allow anyone to carry things to and from the city through the temple courts. Someone over time had discovered a shortcut. You could come from the Mount of Olives through the gate, through the temple, right into the middle of the city. But you see, the temple courts was the only place where Gentiles were allowed to worship and to pray. Can you imagine how it would have been to try to pray there? The cattle there for sacrifice would have been making all sorts of a racket. The birds would have been chirping away. And then you have the sellers who are hawking the sales of the animals. You have the money changers hawking their services. And then you have on top of that all of these people going to and from the middle of the city. Can you imagine how it might be today in our chapel if that was going on outside? Do we rob God of our prayer with our actions? Do we come into chapel to talk and to carry on with others while those around us are trying to pray? Do you and I treat our time of worship and prayer with reverence for God? Jesus tells us by quoting the prophet Isaiah that this is God's house, which will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This is God's house where He comes to us through baptism. We walk past that baptismal font where we're reminded every time we come in here that God has claimed us as His dear children through His powerful word and just ordinary water. This is God's house where God comes to us at His altar through the Lord's Supper to strengthen our faith. This is God's house where God comes to us through His holy scriptures from the pulpit. Jesus' lesson to us is very clear. Treat God's house with utmost care, for it is a house of prayer. This is where we offer our prayers to God, as David wrote, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." And God promises to hear our prayers. And Jesus promises that my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Well, thanks be to Jesus for teaching us this important lesson about God's purpose for His house. This is where we gather for our God to come to us for our comfort and for our strength, and where we offer our prayers to Him. Let us always remember to treat God's house for what it is, a house of prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank You for the many blessings that You continue to shower upon us day by day. We thank You for the opportunity to worship You in this, Your house of prayer. Grant, we ask You during Holy Week, that we who are for our evil deeds are continually afflicted may mercifully be relieved by the passion of Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.